Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Back, it's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.jbsba.com, and I promised you that Nancy Michaels would be here, and we're still trying to get her. We're having a little technical difficulty getting her on the line, and there's a good chance that she'll still be joining us. But I want to talk for a minute about what she was going to talk about, because I think it's important to talk about, and that's women in the marketplace. And those of you who've been listening to my show late for the last several years, some of you know that I've been covering this interesting element or component or sector of the marketplace, which is the sector that's the women play in the marketplace, and as not only as customers, and we've talked about that before, but I'm talking about as business owners. And guys, we might as well understand this, that the fastest growing sector of businesses in the marketplace are women owned businesses. And here's what that means for the rest of us, regardless of what gender we are. What that means is that we're more likely than ever before to have a business customer who's a woman business owner. And for any of us who might have a problem with that, And I, it's sad to say, there still are people out there who don't know how to deal with women in the marketplace. I know a few of them. If you do, you know, you're going to find it more and more difficult to do business, because more and more of your customers, especially business customers, are likely to be women. Also, more and more of your vendors. Somebody could call on you today, a woman-owned business, that's either the owner herself, or somebody that she has working for her could call on you, or you might be looking into a business to be a vendor for you, and you find out it's a woman-owned business. Well, how are you going to manage that? Now, a lot of you might be saying, well, look, it's the 21st century. This is 2004. Are these really valid concerns? Well, unfortunately, I'm afraid they are. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of businesses out there being run by very, very, very competent women, and I know a lot of them, and they are really making a difference. They're really making important contributions to the marketplace. They're very successful. The stats on women-owned businesses are very, very impressive in terms of their commitment to paying back their loans. That's one of the things the SBA has found out. Is when women borrow money that's guaranteed by the SBA, they have a better track record of paying back their money than men do. So that's one thing that's interesting about women business owners. Another thing is they manage their people differently. Women manage their people differently than men do, and they typically manage with more of a consensus and less of a my way or the highway kind of thing. And so guys, when we're negotiating with women, when we're talking with women about doing business with them, and we're at a negotiating table, we need to realize that's the person sitting across from us is not a guy, and they're thinking about this. The way they approach a negotiation is going to be a little bit different than the way we think about it. And I don't know exactly how to tell you what that would be, except to say that it's going to be a little different, and you need to be prepared for that. And as I said earlier, this is not something that's going to go away. This is the way of the future. In fact, what is it? I've forgotten 40 plus percent. I'm not sure what the new number is, but way more than 40% of all businesses in the United States are owned by women, majority owned by women. And that number has significantly increased over the last 5 or 10 years. significantly increased. And one of the reasons it's increased is there are two reasons, actually. Number one, I think because home-based businesses have flourished. I think women have really used the home-based business strategy very well. The other thing is technology. The same thing that has helped small business owners in general grow their businesses and to be able to really leverage the level of playing field and leverage their dream has really helped women. Women, believe it or not, and some people might not believe this, women really are adopting technology to help them, and they use those tools. So, guys, we can take a lesson from the ladies. 20 till. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us.
I like the way your sparkling earrings lay against your skin so brown. And I want to sleep with you.
It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and it's just you and me. And I want to continue my little soliloquy on women in the marketplace. And what I'd like to do now is talk for just a minute about the couple of the differences between men in business and women in business. And both of them, I think, are things that really are things we need to pay attention to. Men are probably more likely, in most cases, men are more likely to let their ego get them into trouble. We're more likely to be overconfident. We're more likely to be, the bravado kind of thing, the machismo thing. We're more likely to use that in the way we behave, in the way we market, the way we enter the marketplace. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that helps. Because people like confident people. They like to do business with confident people. I mean, how many times have you said, we'll take care of that. Well, customers and other people in business like to hear that kind of confidence. They like to hear that. So in a lot of cases, it's a good thing. But sometimes it puts people off, and sometimes it causes you to write. It causes your, as one of my old mentors used to say, it causes your jaybird mouth to write a check, that your hummingbird backside can't cash, and so that's when it gets guys into trouble. Now, let's talk about that the opposite for women. Unfortunately, sometimes women are not as confident as they ought to be. Sometimes women, I've seen this before, they're a little bit more, they're just not as confident. They may be as competent as the guy, but they don't seem to put their foot as forward in the same way. And so, they're often too quick, I think, to sort of be self-deprecating. You know, a guy is almost never going to be self-deprecating. His ego just won't let him do that. And I'm generalizing here, folks, but you know what I'm talking about. Women are maybe a little too quick to be self-deprecating. So I'd like to encourage the women to have a little more confidence. And here's how you do that. Look to your capability. Look to your strength. Look to the things that you know. Look to your education. Look to your skill. Look around you and see if they're the people that you're talking to. If you think that they have the same background as you, if you're talking to two or three guys and they haven't been where you've been, they don't have the background you've got, they don't have the education you have, they don't have the experiences you have. You know, you should be showing that confidence. You should be using that kind of your critical mass, your professional critical mass. You should be using it to demonstrate confidence in a way that women should do. But I've seen this before. I've watched this little experiment, this little petri dish, so to speak, whether it be a guy or two who basically did not have the critical mass that the lady does. And they would act like they were, you know, God's gift to this issue. And the lady would sort of lay back a little bit and just sort of not put her best foot forward. And I'm not saying she should get in anybody's face. I'm just saying she should have held her position. And she didn't. And guess what? The guys got the deal, and the lady didn't. Or whatever happened, it turns out that the guy seized the day. And it's very unfortunate when that happens. And so I just like to encourage women if it's not in your nature to be, and I don't want to use the word aggressive, but if it's not in your nature to be putting your best foot forward, if that's not your personality, I'd like for you to think about putting your capability forward. Put your best foot forward, not with your personality, but with what you know, with what you're capable of doing, with what you've learned. You know, this is another thing that women do better than guys. Women are more likely to do the research. Women are more likely to be prepared. Women are more likely to not shoot from the hip, to have their facts and the paperwork done. They're more likely to do that than guys are. So ladies, use that background. Use that research that you've done. You don't have to be louder than the guys. You don't have to be bigger and stronger than the guys. Use what you know. Use your brain power to be competitive. Use your brain power to seize the day. Use the fact that you probably have out-researched the guys. And you know, sometimes us guys, we use our bravado when we don't have the goods, and sometimes it works. But if someone calls our hand on it and says, you know what, that's not exactly true, and you've got the goods to back it up because you've done the homework, well, guess who gets to seize the day then? One of my goals in what I'm doing here as the small business advocate is to help all small business owners have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Men, women, old, young, middle-aged, all different shapes and sizes, home-based, otherwise, large small businesses, small businesses, tiny small businesses. I want all of you to have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And one of the best ways we can do that is for all of us to be able to maximize our strengths and enter the marketplace with those strengths, whether it be male or female. Going to take a quick break. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. When I come back, I want to talk a little bit about next week. Next week is, the coming week, is the Democrat National Convention. I want to talk a little bit about that and what I'd like for you to look for. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, we got Stephen Moore, we got Kate Kelly, we got Rosalind Glickman, Rick Pinion, Rich Galen, Kristen Arnold, Ivan Meisner, Steve Forbes will be here on Thursday. We got lots of folks, all kinds of folks lined up for you in the days ahead, in the upcoming week. And I'm looking forward to getting all of them on the show. And one of the things we're going to be doing next week, this coming week, is we're going to be doing a little bit more politics than normal, and that's because it's a political week. This coming week is the week of the Democrat Convention, Democratic National Convention, and that's when the Democrat Party gets together and they whoop it up. It's become nothing much more than really a big pep rally. If you think about it, I mean, not really anything's going to be decided. Everything's been decided that needs to be decided. We know who the nominee is going to be. We know who the VP is going to be. The platform was determined, you know, years ago, if not months ago. And, you know, in the old days when we had let me say this, the Republican convention is going to be identical. It's going to be the same thing, just different people in different platforms, different ideas, same string, different yo-yo. And so, you know, those of you who are like me or who've been around a few years, remember when it wasn't like that, when the news media covered them gavel to gavel, as they say, because who knew what was going to come up? not only were the candidates being decided at the convention in some cases, but the platform. They actually would be some dissension over what this plank in the platform or that plank in the platform. And there'd be discussion, and there'd be votes, and there'd be all kinds of fun stuff, all kinds of controversy, and passions and emotions, and the kind of stuff that makes this Brunswick stew in America cool and really great. But that's all gone. We don't have that anymore at these conventions, and consequently, the media won't be covering it to the degree, especially the major networks. They're going to be cutting way back on the time that they're going to be covering the conventions. And so some of the things I want to talk to you about this coming week, I want to give you my idea about how you and I should watch the conventions, the Democrat convention and the Republican convention, which is coming up in about a month or so. And that is this. If you're a small business owner, I want you to think about the things that are important to you in your business. I want you to forget your personal life for a minute. Whether you're pro-abortion or not, whether you're pro-this or gun or not, whether you're pro-environment or not, I would like for the moment for you to watch the conventions just as a business owner. Take all that other stuff and put it aside. You can deal with that another time. I want you to really think about, I'm a small business owner. I have things that are important to me for my small business to be successful that are separate from those other issues. So now that I've got your attention, now that I've got you partitioned into your small business role, I want you to think about what's important to my small business. Is it important that I have some help with health care? Is it important that we have better trade with foreign countries? Is trade good? Do you think trade is good? Is it important that I have more control over working with my employees and instead of less control? Does it mean that do you think that we need a few new regulations here or there, or do you think we need a few less regulations here or there? And let me listen. I'm not leading anybody. This is your decision. You get to decide this. But think about one of the best ways I know to do this. Now, I've written about this. Go to your financial statements. Look at your balance sheet and your operating statement, your P&L, and look at the line items on those things. And think about how politics play a role in helping you improve your financial statement or hurt your financial statements. And then think about when you listen to the politicians on both sides, think about what they're saying convert what they're saying onto your financial statement and see if your financial statement gets better with what they're planning to do or if it gets worse with what they're planning to do. And to me, that's how a small business owner should watch these conventions, should listen to the candidates, and not only the presidential candidates, but your congressional delegation too, those candidates. Look at all those things and think about, I really want to encourage you this year, think about what they're saying with regard to your small business, not the other things that you think about when you're comparing a candidate. Thanks for listening. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.